brought him up and he hurt his arm, so he went down the tubes. And, Mark Thurman, I was really brilliant on him. I recruited him out of Texas A&M, and he was an outfielder. The coach had told me he can pitch a little bit, but I brought him up here, and, God, he didn't hit nothing for me. And finally, about the last few games, I tried him to pitch a little bit, and I said, boy, he's a pretty good pitcher. Well, I should have done that all year, because he ends up going to the big leagues as a pitcher.
Yeah,
I wasn't very smart on him. But that was kind of a fun deal running that program.
I bet it was.
I don't know. I worked for a glass company here for a couple of years. Then about a year ago, a friend of mine got into the bar business over here, a little town east of Wichita. And, well, in fact, it was Andover where they had that terrible tornado. You probably read that on national news
right.
About a year ago. We ran a bar over there for about a year. That was kind of fun. And now I'm retired again, so work a little bit and then take off a little bit.
That sounds nice.
So, yeah, been doing a lot of yard work here lately.
Yeah, well, that's got to be done whether you're working for a living or not.
Yeah, I've been putting in a new yard out in my front, and I've got to do a lot of stuff to it, so got to get it ready to plant.
Well, I'm going to have a team like you had evidently here next year. My son's a college ball player, and he played for a team in Lexington. We're in Kentucky. And, but we live out in Paris, and he and some of his friends want to get a team. You know, they're college players.
Well,
so I hope I have something like the success like you had.
Let me tell you what I found where the best players are from. And I assume it's the same, the Southwest Conference or the Southeast.
Uh-huh.
Especially the Southwest. I mean, it's Yes Sir, Mr. Spencer. Then I got a couple guys from Arizona State and a couple kids from California. And if they want this, they want that. My job's not good enough. I need more money. You know this. Boy, it's just a different breed of kids from California than it is.
Yeah, I bet.
The Southeast.
Well, we're Southeast Conference here.
Sorry about that, Eric Chow. He pitched at Riverside, and his Jeff Pantland was the assistant coach there at Riverside, and he had played for me a couple of years, and he said he had this good pitcher that thought might be able to help us. So we started the season, and he was supposed to be here, and he didn't show up. And then he was supposed to come another day, and he didn't show up. So we went on a road trip out in Colorado. We used to always go out and play Pueblo and Boulder, Colorado, and a couple other teams out there. And I told this Petten, I said, you call Eric, and if he's not here tomorrow, well, I think it was a couple days I gave him, I said, just tell him to stay home. So we were in, I think we were in Colorado Springs, so he had to fly into Denver, then he took a bus to Colorado Springs. Well, I used to go to the airport here and meet ball players, you know, that's flying in or something when they come into Wichita, and you can usually pick out a ball player or something. So I go to the bus depot, never seen this kid or nothing. So I'm standing there waiting for guys to get off the bus. And God, I said, I don't see any guy that looks like a pitcher or a ball player. And this guy had come off. He was in a white suit, a black shirt, and a white tie and carrying a guitar. Well, that can't be Eric. And finally, I can't find it. So I went, you happen to be Eric Chow? He says, yeah, you Mr. Spence? I said, I'm about shit. I said, what in the world? Our guys are wearing jeans and T-shirts. And here this guy comes and joins my club in this fancy suit and a guitar.
That's
Eric Chow.
That's Southern California.
Yeah, California boy. Typical, I mean, just different.
I don't know.
I never thought that he had a good arm. I was kind of surprised to see that he's done it well. He's had some ups and downs in the big leagues. But
a lot of downs, but he's had a couple of good seasons.
Just a good fastball, but kind of surprised me that he went to big leagues. But some guys develop real quick overnight.
Yeah, some are a little slow to come around, but do eventually.
Right.
Well, Barry, you're retired. Do you get much fan mail now?
Yeah, I can tell the difference last couple of years when all this memorabilia stuff become hot stuff. God, I don't know. I get, for me, 4 or 5 a week, I guess, maybe something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Cards, they send 3x5 cards or your baseball bubblegum cards they want signed, and it's just a big business anymore.
It sure is.
Some guys, some agent up in Kansas City wanted to know if I wanted to join their agency, and if I got stuff, send them up there, then they charge the kids $2, but I don't want to get into that. I mean, it's funny how many older guys, I saw you playing the Polo Grounds, they're getting into cards.
Well, I sent you a picture about probably 5 years ago. I remembered, you, when I was a kid, you were one of my favorite players.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one of these Union Oil, I guess, 8x10 pictures they used to give out.
Roger deal?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I sent it to you about maybe five, 6 years ago. And, gosh, you got it right back. I guess return mail. It was back to me in 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
I usually get them. I just sometimes they sit here for a couple, 3 days, but I usually send them out pretty quick because I know the kids are probably, if they don't get them, then they wonder if they're even going to get it back. But a lot of times I'll get thing and they say, if we sent you a picture, would you sign it?
Uh-huh.
It's getting expensive for the kids. I mean, 29 cents a shot, and then they got to send you a self-addressed envelope.
Yeah.
It's not like 6 cents a letter like it used to be. Here.
When I was a little kid, I used to write my favorite players, and it was 1 cent or 2 cent postcard then, and they'd send me a postcard picture back, you know, and with the cent stamp on it.
Yeah, I used to get those before the season started. You'd somebody come out, and then you'd get 500 or 1,000, whatever, and you'd get different ones every year. And got people still say, "If you got any picture postcard?" Well, hell, I've got rid of mine a long time ago, you know.
Yeah, those things sell for a bunch of money nowadays.
I bet they do.
I've seen them advertised at, you know, $5 and $6 a piece, and that used to buy you 100 of them.
I sold some baseball memorabilia here a couple years ago, and hell, I really sold it too cheap now that I see what they're getting for some of this stuff. I had a bunch of baseballs here, and had a New York Giant uniform.
No kidding.
And I sold that for $1,000. I bought some. I think I bought a new refrigerator with it, so I can look at my refrigerator and say, I guess that's what I got for my uniform.
Well, you paint an orange and black NY on the front.
Yeah, but it had the. Then I had a New York Giant hat that had never been worn. I guess stuff like that really valuable.
Oh yeah, they're making the copies of them now. In fact, I've got a New York Giants facsimile hat that I wear around. But the originals, they're $50, $60, $80, $100.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Would you go back to age 20 and do this all again?
Boy, yeah, knowing what the salaries are. Hey, when I played, I mean, it was the love of the game. You just see too many guys. It's too much big business now.
Yeah, it was a game when you played.
Getting the big salaries, but I know when we were our own agents and everything, and you'd go in and talk to the general manager, and when you came out, you felt like you were the luckiest man in the world to be in the major leagues.
Well, you probably were.
You couldn't hardly get a raise.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't Mantle hit 300-something one year, and they wanted to cut him or something? I mean, unbelievable.
I remember Eno Slaughter one year batted, I don't know, he hit 15 home runs and drove in 90 runs and batted 290 or something, and they cut his salary by 20% or tried to, because the previous year he'd batted 300 and driven in over 100 runs. And
he didn't do as good until they cut his salary.
Yeah. Nowadays they'll raise you $500,000.
I don't think cut's even in the vocabulary, is it?
Not in the ballplayer's vocabulary, not in the agent's vocabulary, anyhow.
Yeah, and then what irritates me, these guys will sign a 2 or 3 year deal and they want to renegotiate. That renegotiate is probably the biggest irritating word that I hear.
That's ridiculous. If you agree to it, then
you agree to something. I mean, the ball player, the team has to pay you. Look at, and Hrabowski still getting paid by Atlanta or somebody?
Not Hrabowski, the Suter.
Well, Suter, I thought Hrabowski was getting paid to about 2016 or something.
Oh, by God, you're right. That's right. He had a lifetime or something. Yeah.
And they tell me Doc Medic had some kind of deal when he retired from Texas that he was on some kind of a salary with them as a doctor for 10 years or something.
Mm.
But that's minor compared to what some of these guys get.
What is your general opinion? I think I just got the answer, but of these long-term contracts, what do you think? They're pretty bad.
Well, it's amazing to me that the owners love to do it, and well, I just don't think when you've got the security, and I think that's why you got so many DL lists. They know they're going to get paid regardless.
Right.
They don't care if they're not playing or not. I was talking about Pete Rose the other day, and when I was playing, every team had three or four Pete Roses on them, and now you can't find two or three in the whole league.
That's right.
That really want to go out there and bust their balls, and there's a lot of guys that do it that would have been right at home in my era, but there are just too many guys that are complacent, and all they wait for is their, look at Tartabal this year. He's on his option year,
right,
as they call it, so he's just out there having a great year. And
fantastic year.
4 or 5 year deal. And everybody wants more than the last guy.
Oh, yeah, it's just a dollar more. They want more.
Yeah. And it's just a crazy world. I mean, it was completely lopsided when I was playing in favor of the owners, and I thought maybe here a couple of years ago it would it went the other way, and I thought it would kind of swing back and get even. But the owners are making so much money, I guess they can afford to do it. So look at New York Yankees. I mean, they get $55 million or something for a TV contract.
Mm-hmm.
What's a few bucks for them?
No, didn't they crack $1 billion on that contract?
Was it that much?
It was some number that I can't even comprehend. I can comprehend $55 million. That's more than I'll ever see. But, you know, it's a number you can think. It was maybe, I don't remember. It was something. It was, no, that was a contract. $3 billion was a contract that CBS gave Major League Baseball.
For the life of the contract.
Probably. Yeah, yeah. Then they only show games 10 times a year or something.
Yeah.
Do you have any regrets from your career?
Oh, suppose mention. Oh, regrets losing in 62 with the Dodgers. We've got a 3-game lead with 6 games to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we're playing Houston and the Cardinals at home. Houston comes in, beats us 2-3. A guy named Spangler beats us with a 3-1 game. And then the Cardinals come in and we lose 1-0. I think Broglio beat us, Jackson beat us, and then Gene Smith, the catcher, hit a home run, beat Padres 1-0. We lose 3 straight to them, and the Giants tie us for the playoff. And in those days, we played 2-3.
Mm-hmm.
And then Marichal shuts us out in the first game of the playoffs, 8-0, and we come back and win the next game. It was probably it was the longest game I think ever played up to that time. In fact, I had to go up about the 9th inning or something and bunt in a situation, and we won that game. And we come back and we're leading 4-2 in the 9th inning of the 3rd game of the playoffs. They've got all the cameras, all the champagne in our locker rooms, and all we got to do is get 3 outs in the 9th inning. And I'll never forget because Jim Burright, was that his first
name? Yeah, that's right, Jim.
Larry Burright.
Yeah.
They put him in at second base for defense in the 9th inning, I think. Let me see. There was another thing that happened there, too. It seemed like, Larry Burright went in for defense. Okay, in the top of the 9th, we should have, in the 8th inning, we had a rally going. We should have taken out the underarm pitcher we used to have for the Dodgers. God, I love that guy. But he had pitched about 4, and he'd been pitching every day. He was worn out. We should have tried to pinch hit and get an extra. Anyhow, we didn't. Okay, we start the 9th, and we get a situation with Harvey Keene. Is the batter, and we got 1 out, And Alston moves Burright over towards right field. But this pitcher, God, it was a sinker ball pitcher. Who was a sinker ball reliever that Dodgers had?
Ed Roebuck.
Roebuck. Ed Roebuck. Yeah. He wouldn't throw you.